How's it going, guys? I'll tell you what, there is a lot of you guys here tonight. But if you guys want to open your Bibles up to Judges 6, that's where we'll be tonight. I am Denver, for those of you who are new to Velocity or just don't recognize me because my new fancy haircut. But I have a question. Have any of you guys ever had anything stolen from you? Like maybe for some of you it's been like an iPod, a phone, maybe an iPhone, maybe a car. Maybe someone's had a car stolen. Well, here's an interesting story about a couple who had their car stolen. It says a couple have been given back their Volkswagen golf car 14 years after it was stolen. Milos and Spormenka Jokic from Sedek in eastern Bosnia and Herzegovina, that was hard to say, had their Mark II golf stolen after they parked it on a street in Belgrade during a holiday in 1994. They returned a few hours later to find it gone, but more surprised when a policeman knocked on their door this week and told them they found the car after 15 years. Pretty crazy, huh? Spomenka Jokic, 51, said, "Me and my husband thought it was a joke at first, but the police told us they had stopped the driver during a routine roadside check and realized it was stolen and traced it back through old records to us. It seems actually the car had been stolen a few times since it had been taken from us, but it's definitely our car. It still drives. In fact, my husband says it's as good as it was 14 years ago. So they had their car stolen, and after 14 years ago, it's finally returned. But tonight we're going to look at the Israelites. They had fallen away from God. They walked away from God. And the Midianites were oppressing them. They would come in. They'd steal all their food. They'd wipe it all out. And they'd kill all their livestock. They'd just take it all. And the Israelites would be left with nothing. And it says, what we'll be reading, that the Midianites, they were as numerous as locusts. You guys know locusts, like grasshopper-type bug, right? And it says that their camels were without number and that they were without number too. This was a huge group of people. Would you agree? This is a lot of people. As numerous as locusts, without number, you can't number them. That's a lot of people. So they would come in, they'd wipe out the Israelites' food and livestock. And so the Israelites, they were getting sick of it. And they finally asked, they were crying out to God. They'd fallen away. They cried out to God to come save them. So tonight we're going to look at how they were delivered and who God raised up. And so let's pray. Lord God, I thank you so much for this opportunity to be here tonight. Lord, I pray that you'd speak through me. Lord, I pray that we'd leave here changed, that you'd work on our hearts, and that we would be shining lights for you, and that we would do what you've called us to do. Amen. So you guys in Judges 6, go ahead and jump down to verse 11. What I just talked about with the Midianites oppressing them and stuff, that was 1 through 11 pretty much. And so we'll start in verse 11. Sorry, I lost my voice while I got a cold in South Dakota, and I lost my voice all last week, and it's just not coming back to me. So I'll work on sounding clear for you guys. Okay, so verse 11. Now an angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, which is in Ophrah, which belonged to Joash, the Abizurite, while his son Gideon threshed wheat in the winepress in order to hide it from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, "The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor." So here's Gideon. The Midianites have been coming wiping out their food like we talked about, and he's threshing wheat in the wine press. He's hiding because he's scared the Midianites are going to come take his food. So he's hiding, and he's threshing the wheat, and then all of a sudden the angel of the Lord appears and says, "Gideon, you mighty man of valor." Okay, now just picture this. Here's Gideon hiding, threshing wheat, and the angel of the Lord comes and says, "You mighty man of valor." So that doesn't sound like a very mighty man if he's hiding, right? But I can imagine him hiding, thinking no one's looking, and then the angel of the Lord, "Ah! Where did you come from? Who is this guy?" I can imagine him. You know, have you guys ever been doing something? Have you guys ever been doing something and you think, all right, shh, 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 shh. Have you guys ever been doing something sneaky? You think you're being sneaky. No one's around you. You're looking around, making sure no one's seeing you. And then all of a sudden, like, someone sneaks up on you and you freak out like I just screamed. Well, that's how I imagine what just happened. So Lord calls him, the angel of the Lord calls him a mighty man of valor. And we're going to see how God uses Gideon, this guy who's hiding, but the Lord sees potential. He's a mighty man, and God's going to use him. We're going to see how he uses him. So let's go down to verse 13. Gideon said to him, "Oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, 'Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt?' But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites." But then the Lord turned to him and said, "Go in this mind of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you?" So he said to him, "Oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." The Lord said to him, "Surely I will be with you, and you shall defeat the Midianites as one man." So Gideon, he's like, "I'm nothing. I'm the least in my clan. I'm hiding in a wine press threshing wheat because I'm scared. And you're calling me a mighty man of valor, and you're going to use me? No, I'm the lowest in my father's house. I'm the runt of the family. There's no way." But God promises him, "I'm going to use you to deliver the Midianites into your hand." So let's look at, you don't have to flip there, but I'm going to flip over to James 4:8. "Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded." So the Israelites are frustrated. Gideon's saying, "What happened to all the miracles that you did in Egypt that our fathers told us about? We're not seeing any of that. You've forsaken us. You've left us. What's going on?" Do you guys ever feel like God's just distant from you? He's gone? What does that verse just say? Draw near to him, and he will draw near to you. Gideon says, "You've forsaken us." But what really happened is the Israelites had forsaken God. They had forgot about him. They had left him. So for you guys, if when you're feeling like God's this far-off person that doesn't really care about you, draw near to him. He's there all the time. If you draw near to him, he's going to draw near to you. So God was going to use this weak man. God will use us to do seemingly craziest things. He's going to call you to do stuff that you feel like, "Man, I can't do this, God." Like Gideon, I'm the least in my family. I'm the least in my clan. How are you going to use me? And maybe some of you feel that way. How can God use me? I'm the runt of my family. No one likes me. But God wants to use you to do crazy things. Now, Gideon was pretty bold telling God, "Dude, you've forsaken us," right? Like, that is a pretty bold statement. So the Lord says, "Go in this mind of yours." Gideon's being bold, and so God says, "Look, you're bold. Go in this boldness. Go in this might." Here's something to think about. Has God called you to do something crazy like he's calling Gideon to do? Think about that. We'll talk more about that later. But if God's calling you to do something that you think is just crazy and far out, ask him more. Ask him what it is. Okay, let's read Judges 6, 25 through 7. But before we do, let me catch you up on what's going on. Because we've got a lot of scripture to go over, so we're going to skip a little stuff and I'll just summarize it up for you guys. So Gideon's like, "Okay, if you're calling me, give me a sign." And so the angel of the Lord appears to Gideon. And Gideon's like, "Okay, if this is what I'm supposed to do, you'll wait here for me while I go prepare a sacrifice." So he goes, he prepares a young goat for sacrifice, and he makes unleavened bread. So this would take a while, right? Preparing a goat, got to shave it, butcher it, all that stuff, you know? And there was very specific ways you had to do this. The goat had to be spotless and stuff. You guys probably know a little bit about that. Unleavened bread. You guys ever baked bread? It can take a while, especially in the olden days. Now we got new technology stuff. So this could take a while, but the angel of the Lord waits there the whole time. And Gideon does the sacrifice. But this is a pretty big thing, because remember, the Midianites have been coming through, sweeping all their food. They've been taking all their food, killing all their livestock. And Gideon goes and prepares a sacrifice. The wheat he's been threshing, he's going to make unleavened bread with. You know, the goat, they're short on goats and stuff. You guys ever had a goat shortage? I have. It's bad news. So this is a big thing for him to go sacrifice stuff, especially when the Midianites keep coming through, wiping them out. Okay, but now let's turn to Judges 25 through 27. Oops, I'm still in James. Okay, verse 25. Now it came to pass that night that the Lord said to him, take your father's young bull, the second bull of 7 years old, and tear down the altar of Baal that your father has, and cut down the wooden image that is beside it, and build an altar to the Lord God on top of this rock in the proper arrangement. Take the second bull and offer a burnt sacrifice with the wood of the image you shall cut down. So Gideon took 10 men from among his servants and did as the Lord had said to him. But because he feared his father's household and the men of the city too much to do it by day, he did it by night. So Gideon, he did the sacrifice. He's sleeping. An angel of the Lord says to him, get up. Take your father's young bull. And what you're going to do is you're going to pull down this altar of Baal. You're going to tear it down. And then cut down that wooden image that's next to it. And you're going to use it. And you're going to use it to make a fire to sacrifice your father's other bull. So here's Gideon. So far, he's used wheat that they need, because they're out of food, because the Midianites keep coming through. He's the goat, and now he's going to sacrifice a bull. This guy's going through their food like crazy, don't you think? So this is pretty crazy. God's asking him to do some crazy things before God's going to use him. So Gideon does it, but he does it by night, because he's afraid that the people of the city are going to get mad at him and come go crazy on him, you know? Not karate, crazy. So Gideon was obedient to what God told him to do. He did it. He went out and did it. Even if it meant that the people were going to be mad at him and maybe want to kill him, he was probably going to lose the popularity of town, even if he wasn't popular. So he was risking a lot by doing this. Maybe his father would have disowned him or something. He didn't know what was going to happen, but he was obedient to what God had called him to do in tearing down the altar and sacrificing. He's getting rid of their food like crazy. So, God's going to call you guys to do crazy things sometimes. I don't know what it is, but it may mean you have to sacrifice some stuff in your life, like maybe popularity or maybe some of your friends. There's going to be times that God's just like, I need you to do this, and you're going to have to do it. Sounds crazy, but just do it, right? Now, Gideon was afraid, so he did it by night. But God was going to protect him no matter what. So let's read. I'm going to skip over to. Hold on one second. Skip over to verse 33. So in between that, all the town of the city, all the people in the town are like, who did this? Who torn down the altar? Who sacrificed the bull because they smelt it? Who's done this? And someone finds out it's Gideon. And Gideon's like, all right. And so the people are like, let's kill him. Let's get rid of him. This guy disgraced our false god. Because we've forsaken God. This guy's disgraced our false god. He's torn down his altar. But Gideon's father, Joash, comes out and says, why does your god need you to defend him? If he's a god, can't he defend himself? So he says, If Baal is real, then he'll defend himself. So Gideon got out of that. But in verse 33, we hear about what the Midianites did. Then all the Midianites and Amalekites, the people of the east, gathered together. They crossed over and camped in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. Then he blew the trumpet. The Abizarites gathered behind him, and they sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also gathered behind him. He sent messengers to Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, and they all came to meet him. So Gideon hears about what the Midianites are doing. Sorry, one second. So Gideon hears about the Midianites gathering up. They've crossed over. They're like getting close to the Israelites. They want to go to battle. So Gideon, this guy whose people aren't really trusting him much, the Spirit of the Lord comes upon him. And he calls together, he sends messengers, and everyone gathers up behind him. And they're ready to do battle. So they all gather up in the valley and they're ready to battle. So Gideon calls his men, and they equal 32,000. Now our church is around 10,000 to 12,000. So during all the services, you know. So if you think about it, it's like triple the size of our church, which seems like a lot, right? 32,000 people. It's probably a large amount of people. But really, when you think about it, when the Midianites were as numerous as locusts, you couldn't number them. Their camels were without number. This was a stinking huge army. I can't imagine how big it must have been. So Gideon's going to look for a second sign. Let's read Judges 6:36. So Gideon said to God, "If you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, look, I shall put a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece only and it is dry on all the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said." And so it was when he rose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece together. He wrung the dew out of the fleece, a bowl of water. Then Gideon said to God, "Do not be angry with me, but let me speak just once more. Let me test, I pray, just once more with the fleece. Let it now be dry only on the fleece, but on all the ground let there be dew." And God did so that night. And it was dry on the fleece only, but there was dew on all the ground. So Gideon, he says, "All right, you've given me signs, but I need a second sign." So he's like, "I'm going to throw out this fleece on the ground. And if there's dew on it in the morning, but only on the fleece, then I'll know." So Gideon goes to sleep, and it just so happens that when he wakes up, there's dew on the fleece. I doubt it was Mountain Dew, but there was dew on the fleece. So then he's like, "Okay, God, don't get mad at me, but I just need to know for sure if this is what I'm supposed to do. So if I wake up tomorrow and there's dew only on the ground and the fleece is dry, then I'll know. I will know for sure." So, you know, he goes to sleep. And whoa, the fleece is dry. The ground is wet with dew. Mountain Dew. Here you go. Have a dew. So there's Gideon's fleece. And so Gideon asked for a sign. And you guys may be wondering, if God's calling me to do this, I'm just not sure. I'm not sure if I can do it. I'm not sure like Gideon. I need a sign. I've had a sign already. I had another sign, but I just need to know. So if you feel like God's calling you to do something, don't be afraid to ask for a sign. If God's really calling you to do it, and it's something God wants you to do, then he'll make sure you know that it's what you're supposed to do. So don't be afraid to ask God for a sign like Gideon. He asked a lot for a sign, don't you think? Okay, let's go on into the next chapter. Judges 7, 1 through 3. Then Jeroboam, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him, rose early and encamped beside the well of Herod, so that the camp of the Midianites was on the north side of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. And the Lord said to Gideon, "The people who are with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands. lest Israel claim glory for itself against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. Now therefore proclaim in the hearing of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and afraid, let him turn and depart at once from Mount Gilead. And 22,000 people returned. 10,000 remained. Okay. This seems a little over the top for me. Here's Gideon. He's asking for all these signs. He already knows he's way outnumbered. He's got 32,000. The Lord tells him, this is too many. This is way too many people for me. And so he says, Gideon, gather all the people who's ever fearful or afraid. Send them home. Can you imagine what everyone was thinking? Gideon, what are you doing? We've only got 32,000 people and you're sending 22,000 away. What are we going to do? How are we going to win this battle? But God says, no. This is too many. Because Israel might think that they did it by their own hand. But I'm the one who's doing the work. I'm the one who's doing the work, God says. So Gideon told him, go. So 22,000 packed up and left. 22,000, that's a big number. So now we're at 10,000. Okay, remember how I talked about it was probably triple the size of our church, their whole army? Now they're probably like the size of our church, 10,000. So you guys all suit up. We're going to battle. So you guys ready?
Yeah.
All right, he's ready. So the Lord told Gideon, this was crazy what the Lord was telling Gideon to do. But God was calling him to do it, and so he did it. Here's an interesting story. In Frankfort, Kentucky, the pastor of a Kentucky church that handles snakes and religious rites was among 10 people arrested by wildlife officers in a crackdown on the venomous snake trade. Most were taken from Middlesboro home of Gregory James Coots, the pastor. Listen to this list of snakes. 42 copperheads, 11 timber rattlesnakes, 3 cottonmouth water moccasins, a western diamondback rattlesnake, 2 cobras, and a puff adder. This guy was making his congregation handle snakes, deadly snakes. Now this was a bad idea. This is not biblical. So don't handle snakes. I don't know about you guys, but I hate snakes. So I would not go to that guy's church, especially because he's not obeying God's word with his congregation. This is a pretty crazy story, and they were testing God. They were testing God with their lives, and that's not what God had wanted to do. But at this point, I would have been telling Gideon, dude, we can't do this. You're crazy. There's no way. We're way outnumbered, as if we weren't already, but you sent everyone home. So, but here's the crazy part. Let's look at verse 4. But the Lord said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Bring them down to the water, and I will test them there for you. Then it will be that of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you. The same shall go with you, and whomever I say to you, this one shall not go with you. The same shall not go. So he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laughs from the water with his tongue as a dog laughs, you shall set apart by himself. Likewise, everyone who gets down on his knees to drink, and the number of those who lapped, putting their hand to their mouth, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people got down on their knees and drank the water. So he's saying, whoever gets down on the water and drinks it up like this, you're going to keep. But whoever gets on their knees down to the water and is drinking, send them home. So, I don't know about you guys, but at this time, I'd want to be one of the guys who was on my knees. Because there's only 300 of them. 300 people, so they've gone from 32,000 to 10,000, now to 300 people? Are you kidding me? Gideon, what are you thinking, dude? There's no way. We were outnumbered, then we were really outnumbered. Now this is just crazy. Do you guys ever feel like maybe what God's calling you to do is just far out there. Maybe you've had thoughts and you're just like, no way, that's not real. That's just too crazy. But remember what God told Gideon back in verse 16 of chapter 6? I shall deliver the Midianites into your hand as one man. The Lord has given Gideon this promise. He's following through. Now, if God's calling you to do something and he's calling you, then that's what he's going to do. He's going to follow his plan through. He's not going to leave you. He's there the whole fight with you. So, Gideon's like, God is 300. All right, God, we got 300. Suppose we could do some damage. No, I suppose we could maybe win. But we read about how all the Midianites had gathered down in the valley. They've had their camp set up. They've crossed over, and they're just waiting to go to battle. So, Lord, Gideon's sleeping. Lord wakes him up and says, hey, it's time. It's time. You guys are going to win. We're going to battle. And the Lord tells Gideon, okay, if you're not sure, you and your servant, Purah, go down to where the Midianites are camped and listen, because you're going to hear something. So Gideon goes. I can imagine them. You know, two guys going up against outnumbered. Imagine if they got caught. It'd blow the whole thing, right? So I imagine them sneaking up. And Gideon hears, and he's listening. And this guy wakes up, and he had a dream. And he's telling his friend his dream. And that's how Gideon gets his confirmation that he's supposed to go to battle. The guy says, oh, this is a crazy dream. A loaf of bread rolled in and destroyed the tent. And his friend's like, dude, you know what this means? It means that we're going to be delivered into Gideon's hand. That's a crazy dream. So loaves of bread dreams. All you guys who are dreaming about bread, better look into that. So, let's go. So Gideon, he's done that. He hears it. He's like, okay, we got to go. And so they run back, and he gets all his men. Get up, wake up. We are going to battle now. I know we're supposed to go. I've had 50 signs. All right, five. But he's had a ton of signs that he's supposed to go. And so he gathers up all his men. And he's like, okay, here's what you need. You need a pitcher, like a pitcher for water. You need a pitcher. You need a torch. And everybody grab a trumpet. So they all grab pitchers, trumpets, and torches. So they don't have any weapons. So I can imagine they're all frantically grabbing pitchers. And got a pitcher. Okay, got a torch. What else do I need? I need a trumpet. Okay, got my trumpet. Okay, all right. Okay. So Gideon's like, all right. Guys, follow me. Watch what I do. Do as I do. So let's go into Judges 7:19. Are you guys ready? I'm excited. This is crazy. So Gideon came, and the 300 men who were with him came up to the outpost of the camp. And at the beginning of the middle watch, just as they had posted the watch, they blew the trumpets. They broke the pitchers that were in their hands. The 300 companies blew the trumpets and broke the pitchers. They held the torches in their left hands and the trumpets in their right hands for blowing, and they cried, "The sword of the Lord and Gideon!" And every man stood in his place all around the camp. And the whole army ran and cried out and fled. So, here's what's going on. They all sneak up. Gideon's got 100 guys with him. Okay, we got 100 guys over here. You're on this side of the camp, this side of the Midianite camp. Okay, we got 100 guys over here. So there's them. Okay, we got 100 guys in the back. Okay, so we all got our trumpets, our pitchers, and our torches. Okay, so here's what we're doing. Break the pitchers. We're going to break them. Then grab your torch in your left hand and your trumpet in your right hand and blow. So they blow the trumpet and all the dudes, and they just stand there. You know, they don't have swords or anything. They've got broken pitchers to fight with. So that'd be a rough battle. Maybe they could like hit someone with their trumpet. Or like blow so loud it hurts their ear and they're like, ah! So they aren't really prepared for battle, but they are. So they blow the trumpets and they scream, "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." And all the dudes in the camp are sleeping. They wake up, ah! We're surrounded. Can you imagine? They're all gathered up in this camp and they're surrounded, hearing the sword of the Lord and Gideon. They're surrounded and they hear this and they hear trumpets blowing in the middle of their sleep. Have you guys ever been woken up? Oh, I know what bugs me. My alarm clock. It's the most obnoxious alarm clock ever. So when it wakes me up, it's like, I'm sleeping and I'm freaking out because this alarm's so loud. So can you imagine how frantic they must have been waking up to the sword of the Lord and Gideon? All right, let's try something. We got maybe, how many people think we got here? Maybe 100? 100 or more?
Three.
I have a test. Anybody have a trumpet with them? Okay, no one's got a trumpet. So when I say go, that'll be like a trumpet, and you guys yell, "The sword of the Lord and Gideon, and of Gideon." Like you're wanting to freak some dudes out. So ready? You guys gotta do good. You only got one chance at this. "The sword of the Lord and of Gideon." Go!
The sword of the Lord and of Gideon!
You guys woke me up. So they didn't have very much stuff, right? They didn't seem very prepared for battle. But God had called them to do what God had called them to do. He was going to use them no matter what. Hey, guys, you guys chill out for a minute? So God was behind him the whole time. Gideon asked for so many signs and stuff, and the whole way God was behind him. I don't know about you guys, but like I said, maybe you feel that calling on your life. God's calling you to do something, and you're just not sure. Know this, God's behind you the whole way. He never left Gideon. He was with him the whole way. And he delivered the Midianites into their hands. You know what happened? So when the Midianites rose up, they blew the trumpets, the Lord set every man's sword against another. So all the Midianites were attacking each other. They were so freaked out, they just started attacking each other. So they like started wiping themselves out. And then they ran. They fled. God had delivered the Midianites into Gideon's hand. Listen to this story. Have any of you guys ever been to the Arlington Cemetery?
Yes.
The Tomb of the Unknown Soldier? Well, listen to this. At the Arlington Cemetery, the guards of the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier are switched every 30 minutes. These guards make a 2-year commitment with all sorts of specifics, so much that they take 5 minutes to get their uniform ready. Or 5 hours. Sorry, 5 minutes. That's quick. 5 hours. It takes them 5 hours to get ready to guard for 30 minutes. When they first sign up, the first 6 months of that 2-year commitment, they can't talk. They can't talk to anyone. They can't watch TV. All they can do is read about the cemetery, the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier. So these guys are really committed to their job, super committed. In 2003, Hurricane Isabel was approaching Washington, D.C. Our U.S. Senate House took 2 days off with anticipation of the storm. On the ABC Evening News, it was reported that because of the dangers of the hurricane, the military members who were assigned the duty of guarding the Tomb of the Unknown Soldier were given permission to suspend the assignment. So they were like, "This is a hurricane. You guys don't have to guard it." They respectfully declined. A hurricane's coming, and these guys decline. No way, sir. Soaked to the skin, marching in the pelting rain of a tropical storm, they said that guarding the tomb was not just an assignment. It was the highest honor that can be afforded to a service person. These guys are intense. They're serious about their job. The tomb has been patrolled continuously 24/7 since 1930. Guys, in the same way that these guys are committed to their job, this tomb's been patrolled since 1930, 24/7. God's had his eye on you, watching you. He's been with you since you were born, 24/7. He's always got your back. He's always right there with you. I don't necessarily know what God's calling you to do. Maybe it would be getting out of that relationship with your boyfriend or girlfriend that you know is wrong. Maybe it's your parents got a divorce and you're angry and bitter at them. You have a lot of hate towards them. How could they do this to you? Maybe God's calling you to forgive them. Maybe God's calling you to love them and be a light to them. Maybe God's calling you to talk to your dad and be a light to him who you haven't seen in 15 years. Maybe God's calling you to do that. Maybe God's calling you to give up the drugs and that addiction you have. Maybe God's asking you to give up something big. Maybe he's calling you to the mission field, or calling you to be a pastor, or calling you to the ministry. Maybe he's calling you to serve him, and he has called you all to serve him. And you guys, I know how hard it can be to do something crazy for God. I know what it's like being God calling you to do something crazy. But he's with you the whole way. Just like he never backed out with Gideon. Just like those guards have continuously guarded that tomb. God's been there with you the whole way. He's always with you through this battle. So here's something you need to think about. What has God called you to do? And will you do it? God's with you. He delivered the Midianites into Gideon's hand. And he's ready to use you. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you so much that you are with us, Lord. That you never leave us, you never forsake us. Lord, when we run from you, it's not because of anything you've done, but because of what we've done. Lord, we know that if we draw near to you, you're going to draw closer to us. God, I pray that no matter how hard it may be to listen to your calling or to do what you've asked us to do, God, I pray that you'd be with us, that you'd strengthen us, and that we would do what you've called us to do. Lord, I pray for anyone who doesn't know you in here tonight, Lord. I pray that if you're tugging on their heart, Lord, I pray that they'd talk to leader tonight, that they might come to know you and how great you are and how you're always with us. Lord, I pray that you bless us all as we leave here. Amen. If you...